This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
نستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلوات الله وسلامه عليه تسليما كثيرا أما بعد فإن خير الكلام كلام الله سبحانه وتعالى وخير الهدى هدى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. As it was announced, today's lecture in the series of Poisoned Hearts is a lecture that has been entitled by the brothers following in the footsteps of the Khawarij. May Allah Azza wa Jal protect us here in the UK, people in the West, from the Khawarij who are present in the Muslim world, and from the Khawarij who are present in Europe, and from the people who are affected by the way and the thinking of the Khawarij. Because you don't necessarily have to be a member of the Khawarij as such, but you can have Khariji sifat, descriptions with you. It's like the issue of al-nifaq, hypocrisy. A person may not be a bona fide, real munafiq, and he's outside of the fold of Islam, but he has characteristics of nifaq. Like, when he speaks, he lies. When he's entrusted with something, he breaks his trust. When he promises, he breaks his promise. When he argues, he becomes vulgar. When it's time for salat, he stands up to pray and he's lazy. When he prays, he doesn't think of Allah a lot. He remembers Allah just a little bit. So in this masjid, we've given a number of khutub and a number of durus, specifically dealing with the descriptions of the munafiqeen. And most people have descriptions of the munafiqeen, but we're not going to say a person is a munafiq khalis. You're outside of the religion. They have a lot of characteristics, meaning, but it doesn't make a person a full-blown, bona fide person who's a munafiq. Similar to the other jama'at in al-Islam, a person, he may not be from the group of al-irja. He may not be a murji. I'm from the murji'a. He may not be from that group. Those people who say actions have nothing to do with al-iman. I don't pray. I don't wear hijab. I eat pork. I do everything that's haram. But I believe as long as I say la ilaha illallah, Muhammad al-Rasulullah, I'm going to go to Jannah. And I'm not going to do any deeds, any actions. The person who says that, he may not be from the murji'a, but that understanding of his is from the understanding of al-irja. The lady who doesn't wear hijab, and she says, I say la ilaha illallah. The one who doesn't pray, especially prayer with our ummah. There are many people who don't pray from this ummah. The murji'a were of the opinion, you don't have to pray. Just say la ilaha illallah and your iman is like the iman of Jibril and Mikail. Salawatullahi wa salamu alayhim. And that's how it is with the jama'at. You may not be a Sufi. You may not be a Sufi. Like I'm with the Tariqa At-Tijaniya. You're not with those guys. Al-Burhaniya. You're not with them. Al-Naqshbandiya. You're not with them. But you're one of those people who, you go overboard with your sheikh. You may raise your sheikh above the level of the Prophet even, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, because al-Mustafa, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, may tell you to do this, but that's not what your sheikh says. It's not what your sheikh does. So you say, my sheikh doesn't do it. So you have a characteristic of the Sufi, and on and on and on. You may not be from the Shiite, from the Rafida. You may not be from them. But you may be a person like some of our brothers who are from Pakistan in that area, because in that area, there's some Shiaism there, tashayur. So some people have in their heart some type of animosity and some type of enmity towards Muawiyah, because that creeped into that area because of the tashayur that's there. Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan, radiyallahu anhu. You may not be a Shiite from the Rafida, but if you hate any companion, any one of them, you have a characteristic of the Rafida, although you may not be from Iran and Iraq. So the point here is, we see a lot of people who have characteristics from the Khawarij in our community, and they don't even realize it. And the Khawarij are a scourge on our community. And this is why we say to these young brothers here that we have to be careful. Learn your religion. Learn your religion. And as you're going to see, because what I'm going to deal with, inshallah, today, in the footsteps of the Khawarij, I'm not going to go through who the Khawarij are and what they say and what they do and what they did and their history, because we've done that 27 times. I know someone, anytime he wants to show something is exaggerated, he gives it the numbers 27. I've talked about the Khawarij 1,000 times. You can go back and find the details of the history of the Khawarij and the books that have been written against the Khawarij. I'm not going to do that here today. What we're going to do here today is, I'm going to share with you, inshallah, to the best of my ability, bi-idhnillah, an issue that transpired with one of the greatest ulama from the tabi'een, from the salaf of this ummah, from the second generation of Muslims who learned directly from the companions, Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in. He's a person who not many of us know his name. Students of knowledge know his name because he figures prominently when we talk about knowledge and ilm al-hadith and the narrations of the Isra'iliyat. Those narrations that come in hadith, that came from Ahlul Kitab, this man was one of the two people who was prolific in spreading that type of knowledge. Not all of it was authentic, and as a result of that, you have to know about him. Him along with another scholar from the Tabi'in. His name is Wahab ibn Munabbih. Wahab ibn Munabbih. He's one of the first people who wrote a book of hadith when he wrote the Sahifa of the companion Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. A book, small book, that he took hadith from Abu Huraira and he wrote it down. And he was born in the year 34 after the Hijrah. That was during the Khilaf of the Amir al-Mu'mineen, Uthman ibn Affan, the Nurain. That companion that married two of the daughters of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That companion who was the third best person of this ummah after Abu Bakr Umar and then Uthman, as it relates to the companions. That companion who, the Malaika of Allah, used to be shy of him because of his high level of Al-Iman. Al-Iman Wahab ibn Munabbih was born in the year 34 when Uthman was the Khalifa. He grew up and he was from Al-Yemen, from the place called Sana'a. Tremendous, tremendous companion. Tremendous. As he grew up and he got older and he became a scholar, he became a judge in Sana'a during the Khilaf of Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, who many of the scholars consider to be the fifth Khalifa Rashid after Ali ibn Abi Talib. Al-Imam Ahmed, Abdullah ibn Mubarak, that was their position and an opinion, that the Khulafa Rashidun, Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, Ali, and Umar ibn Abdul Aziz. Although Muawiyah is better than Umar ibn Abdul Aziz and so forth and so on. Radiallahu anhum wa rahmatullahi alayhim ajma'in. This man, Wahab ibn Munabbih, he took from the companions. And he took from six of the companions who narrated the majority of the hadith. There are eight. He took from six of them. He took knowledge from Anas ibn Malik. He took knowledge from Jabir ibn Abdullah. He took knowledge from Abdullah ibn Abbas. Knowledge from Abdullah ibn Umar. He took knowledge from Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, radiyallahu anhum ajma'in. If he didn't have any other teacher, that's nitroglycerin right there. Al-Imam Wahab ibn Munabbih, Allahu alam, I don't want to exaggerate, but there's a saying that we have in America, and I'll share it with you to give you an idea of how much knowledge this man had, because he learned from those companions. The knowledge that he forgot, the knowledge that he forgot was more than the knowledge all of us possess collectively. The knowledge that he forgot, more than the knowledge that we possess collectively. Because our knowledge is sathi. Our knowledge is surface knowledge. Everybody who teaches in this masjid, they come nowhere near the tabi'een and the atba', the followers of the tabi'een, and those four imams of the madahib, and those ulama of the kutub as-sitta. We don't appreciate, unfortunately, the level of knowledge that those people had back then, because we're living close to Yawmul Qiyamah, and as a result of that, knowledge is scarce, and the people don't even know that knowledge is scarce. The little kid during that time, 8, 7, hafiz of the Quran. And if he wasn't hafiz of the Quran, the people looked at his father like, something's wrong with you, man. What are you doing? Are you a slave or something? That your son didn't memorize the Quran? Now, during this time, if given a choice the Muslim has, I'm going to let my son go and study in Al-Medina or somewhere, or go to Birmingham University to get a degree in a secular science, which is not, nothing's wrong with that. We're going to send him to get the secular degree. I have 4 or 5 sons. The one who's really smart and intelligent, I send him to be a doctor. And the one who is not that smart, not that intelligent, I send him to go study in Islam, when it should be the other way around. The one who's intelligent should go and learn the religion, so that he can help this ummah with these problems that we have. So Al-Imam Wahab ibn Munabbih, this is a person that you should know. This is a person that you should know. Tremendous person from the tabi'in. Al-Imam Abu Zur'a, Al-Imam al-Nasa'i, they said he was a man who was thiqa in narrating of hadith. His hadith are in Sahih Bukhari and Sahih Muslim. So what happened? Going to share with you this incident that the great scholar of al-Hadith, one of the 10 people that was described as being Amir al-Mu'mineen in Hadith. There were only 10. That's all. Bukhari was from them. Al-Imam Ahmed was from them. Al-Imam Malik was from them. Abdullah ibn Mubarak was from them. But the one we want to talk about today, is Al-Imam Ali al-Madini. The companion of Al-Imam Ahmed, Ali al-Madini. They were always together, always. And sometimes in knowledge, they had ikhtilaf. One would say this man is okay, and the other would say he's not okay. And they didn't hate each other when they had that ikhtilaf. They were civilized and sensible. Nonetheless, Al-Imam Ali al-Madini narrates for us this story. And he said who his sheikh was, Hisham ibn Qais. And the reason why he gave a chain of narration is because some things happen in the story that are kind of not weird, but they don't happen like this every day. But again, if we have a chain of narration and the narrators are all acceptable, then in our religion we accept that issue. Someone we know, we consider him to be truthful. He comes and he tells us right now, he just comes into the message and he said, hey guys, right outside at Morrison's, there's a Pepsi truck that tipped over and the soda is spilling all over the place. We're not going to say, you're lying. We're going to believe what he said, because to us, we know him to be truthful. These people back then were on another level. So Al-Imam Ali al-Madini brings his chain of narration. I'm going to do my best, inshallah, in trying to read this to you, because I printed it off of the internet without reading the translation, because I was rushing to get here to Birmingham. But when I was coming to Birmingham and I started reading the English, I said, this has been translated by someone who his original tongue is English, and he probably used the Hans Weir dictionary to translate, because it's not translated in a fluent way. It's not translated in a way that's even easy sometimes to understand. So I'll do my best, and I hope that we, inshallah, Azza wa Jalla, will get the point. This is an incident that happened with a man during the time of Al-Imam Wahab ibn Munabbih, who was following in the footsteps of the Khawarij. And he was an older man. And he was extremely rich. He had a lot of dough, a lot of cheddar. So let us give this story. Al-Imam Ali al-Madini, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he said that Hisham ibn Yusuf told him that Abu Abdurrahman, who was the judge of Sana'a, he said that Dawood ibn Qais, remember that name, Dawood ibn Qais. Dawood is the one who's telling the story of what happened with Wahab ibn Munabbih. Dawood. Okay? This man, Dawood ibn Qais, he said, I had a friend in the city of Khawlan from the neighborhood in the area called Hadur, and his kunya was Abu Shamr Dhu Khawlan. This man, Dawood, said, I left Yemen, the place called Sana'a, where Al-Imam Wahab ibn Munabbih is from. He said, I left that place, and Wahab ibn Munabbih is in Sana'a. I left it to go visit my friend, Abu Shamr. I went, and I headed towards his village. And as I was approaching his village, I found a letter that was sealed and it was closed. When I picked up the letter, it was addressed to Abu Shamr, the Khawlan, the man who he was going to visit. So obviously, evidently, the letter had been dropped. And the one who was going to visit him found the letter. And that's why the translation or the transmission, the isnad of this is important. Al-Imam Ali al-Madini is saying, I was told by my sheikh, who is an acceptable narrator, who was told by his sheikh, who is an acceptable narrator, who was told by Dawood, who's an acceptable narrator. So the chain of narration is authentic. It's not the hadith of the Prophet anyway, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But my point is, we don't see the thiqat of al-Islam, of the people of hadith, lying. So this man, he went to visit his friend in this place, and he found a letter that someone wrote to him. So the man said, when I arrived to this man, my friend, when I arrived there, I discovered him in a state in which he was frantically sad, extremely sad. I asked him, why are you in that state? He said, someone came to me before you from Sana'a, where you just came from. Someone came to me, and he mentioned that some friends of mine, the Khawarij, some friends of mine, they wrote me a letter. But the guy who was bringing the letter to me, to where I am, he lost the letter. And now I'm in this state because he lost the letter. So what I did was I sent a number of my servants, because the man was rich, I sent them back to Sana'a to look for the letter, to search for it vigorously between the village where I'm coming from and Sana'a. So they went out looking for this, but they didn't find it. So I've become sorry as a result of that. I'm in trouble. Dawood said, I have the letter. I found the letter. I found it. The man was shocked, surprised. He said, all praise are due to Allah who facilitated that you would find the letter. So he said, open it, open it. The man opened the letter. Dawood said, read the letter to me. I want to hear what the letter has to say. So he opened up the letter and he read it very quickly to himself. And then he said to the man, he said to Dawood. Dawood said, what is it? He said, Darub al-A'naq. This letter is talking about hitting the necks, slicing the necks and chopping them off. That's what it's about. So Dawood, due to his experience, he said to the man, perhaps the letter was written to you by some of the Hurura, and they talking to you about your zakat. The Hurura is another name of the Khawarij. It is a place where a group of people were upon the Khawarij Minhaj. Our mother Aisha radiallahu anha was in Medina, and a lady who lived in this place came to visit Aisha, to learn from Aisha. Aisha told that lady, listen, as women, if it's that time of the month and we have our periods, akramakumullah, we abandon the salat and we abandon the fast. But when we become pure again, we make up the days of fasting that we missed and we don't make up the prayer. When the lady heard that from that place and she was affected by the Khawarij, the Hurura, the lady said, but Ummul Mu'mineen, isn't Salat more important in Islam than fasting? She said, yes. She said, then why is it that we make up the fast and we don't make up the Salat? If Salat is more important, why are we making up the fast, not the Salat? Aisha became angry. She said to her, Ahururiyatu anti? Are you from the Khawarij? Are you from the Khawarij? And the reason why she said that, are you from the Khawarij, is Allah and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will tell the Muslim to do this. And the Khawarij, they say, no, we're going to do the other thing. For an example, the many hadith in Sahih Muslim, many, not one, not two, not three, many hadith in Sahih Muslim, they prohibit the Muslim from revolting against the leader. And those hadith said, even if he hits you, even if he takes your money, even if he raises other people above you who don't deserve, don't make khuruj. And the people were affected with this Khawarij mentality when you bring these hadith to them. But the Prophet said this and the Prophet said that. They find every excuse and every reason to say, but, walakin. So they made i'tirad. When Allah and His messengers say something, a person opposes it. That's one of the characteristics of the Khawarij. Prophet Muhammad told us, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, give the rights of the leader to the leader, even if he doesn't give you your rights. That's not because Allah loves dhulm or the Prophet loves dhulm. Hasha lillah. It's because if you make khuruj against the leader, the fitna of him stealing the money, the fitna of him being unjust, the fitna of him not being the best Muslim is going to pale in comparison to the fitna that's going to come as a result of you making khuruj. I find it disturbing and amazing that as Muslims, we act like we're living in some vacuum with our lives. This boy right here, he grew up knowing the problems of Iraq, the problems of Syria. He grew up knowing that. Our little kids grew up knowing the situation with Libya. This is not some bubble that we're reading something from a story a long time ago. When Qaddafi was here, and Qaddafi was a criminal, Saddam was a criminal. But when they were there, and they were in charge of the Muslim country with all of their dhulm and craziness, an eccentric approach to life, with all of what they had, life was better than what the Muslims are dealing with right now. It's disturbing that I can sit here in momos and bobos and bedders and medders, and I sit there eating a plate, me and my six ashab. We're sitting there. We have pork chops, lamb chops, no pork chops. We have lamb chops, we have chicken, we have this, we have that, we have all anwa of food. And we're sitting here intellectually and theoretically talking nonsense. People in Iraq, people in Syria, people in Libya, these people have tasted the adab that comes as a result of no ruler. So the Salaf used to say, 1,000 years under the authority of a bad ruler is better than one night under in a situation where there's no ruler at all. Because that bad ruler, people are going to be afraid of him. They're going to respect him. If I go beyond the speed limit, I'm going to get in trouble. If I steal something, I'm going to get in trouble. If I do it, I'm going to get in trouble. They're going to respect him. But if that guy is off of the scene, every Amr, Bakr, and Zayd that wants to do a crime is going to come out. As you're going to see, inshallah. The Arabs say, ma ashbaha al-layla bil-bariha. How much tonight resembled yesterday. Watch how much ISIS resembled what Al-Imam Wahab ibn Munabbih said 34 years after the Hijrah. Compare what he said 34 years after the Hijrah to ISIS today. Shabab today. Boko Haram today. Qaeda today. May Allah forgive us and forgive them. Guide us and guide them. Protect Al-Islam. And that he doesn't make us a fitna for those people who are disbelievers. Ala kullin ikhwani. Dawood said, it must be that this letter came to you from some of the people of the Hurura who are in Sana'a. And they are telling you about your zakat. He said, how do you know this? How do you know these people? How did you know that? Because he was young. Dawood was much younger. And this man is old and rich. Dawood said, my friend, I sit with Al-Imam Wahab ibn Munabbih. And this imam and this teacher, he tells us, hey, you youngsters who are inexperienced, be aware of the hururiya. Be aware of the khawarij. And do not allow them to submit you to their devious views. For verily, they are a scourge of this ummah. The young boy and the young girl from Manchester, from Cardiff, from Liverpool, from Birmingham, from London, sneaking off without the knowledge of their parents to go to Syria to fight, Al-Iraq to fight. Hey, young people, what is wrong with you? This is what he's telling. So Dawood told him, this is what the imam told us. I'm young, I'm inexperienced. And this man, Dawood, had knowledge too. You look at his, if you look at his history and what the ulama said of him, he wasn't like our youngsters. He was a young person, but he had knowledge. Nonetheless, this is how he knew him. These hururiya, the khawarij, because he was warned. And this is the benefit of knowledge and the benefit of exposing yourselves to knowledge, especially from the ulama. Listen to me, you young people. Listen to me. I don't want to mention names to make fitna. But I gave a talk on YouTube advising the Ashab al-Saqaf, the companions of the roof. And we advised those people, hey, you guys have to relax. This is not what's going to help you or Islam or us, our dawah. But young people don't listen. And when you tell them this way that you're thinking and this way that you're talking, who's with you from the scholars? Where did you get that? And all of their understanding comes from their own ijtihad. And that's one of the characteristics of the Khawarij. That they have kibr, arrogance. They see what they believe and how they believe as being the right thing and everybody else is off. No, a young person, you have to relax. And if you want to be on a minhaj, that is qawim and it's right, mustaqim, salim, you want to be on a right methodology, you have to have older people or ulama with you. For you brothers and sisters. Young girl. I mean, she's young. I can't even say she's in the prime of her life. Her life is just beginning. And she has excelled academically. Graduated. Getting ready to go to the university. On a free ride. A scholarship. Because she's one of the number one students in this whole country. But she has ghira for Islam. Hirs for Islam. And we want all of you to have that. We want all of you people to be proud of your religion, you young people. We don't want you to change your name. We don't want you to be second-class apologetic Muslims. We don't want that from you. We want you to tell people, my name is Hanifa. It's my name. Don't call me Mo. Don't call. And I'm a Muslim. I'm not an apologetic person. We don't want you to be like that. Not at all. We don't want you. This girl, she was like that. But who were her scholars? Who was she learning from? She was learning on her own on the internet. Internet warriors on the internet. So her desires, her emotions caused her to go to some subway underground station and stab one of the MPs who actually voted against Iraq being attacked and invaded. But somehow, some way, because he was a person who the people knew, and he's using the underground. I'm not saying that man is from the Malaika. I'm not saying he's from the Odi of Allah. I'm not saying Allah loves him. I'm not saying he loves Allah and his messenger. What I'm saying is, like that lady that was killed by that racist BNP EDL guy, that lady did a lot for Muslims and a lot for minorities, and that guy killed her for that reason. There were some people like that. That sister stabbed that man and tried to kill him, and Allah knows best. Is she going to regroup and get a life together? But she got in trouble as a result of that. Where did her knowledge come from? Who was she sitting with? Who was she sitting with? But our youngsters are like that, and they're existing in that cocoon. So let us finish, inshallah ta'ala. Because all I'm going to do is read the story and make some taliqat, and that's it. Bi-idhnillah. So what happened was, the man said, he handed Dawood the letter, and he told Dawood, you read the letter. Dawood began to read the letter. Listen to the kalam that the Khawarij wrote to this man in Sana'a. They said, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. This is to Abu Shamr the Khawlan. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon you. We praise Allah for you. Ahmadullah ilayk. We praise Allah for you. The one whom there is nothing worthy of worship except Him. And we commend you to have taqwa. We advise you to fear Allah. And to fear Allah alone and only Allah. Because He has no partners. Verily, the religion of Allah is sensible. And guidance is in this world. It comes from the religion. And the deen is a rescue and a success in the hereafter. The religion of Allah is obedience to Allah and indifference to those who deviate from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sharia. So if this writing of ours, this letter, if it reaches you, then please consider that you give this letter due consideration. This letter is concerning the obligation from the rights that Allah ta'ala has put upon you as it relates to your zakat. This is deserving from that, the friendship of Allah and the friendship of Allah's friends, and may the peace of the blessings of Allah be upon you. This kalam, when you read it, is beautiful and it's true. If you read it in Arabic, especially. This kalam is fasih, very eloquent, it's nice. And that's from the characteristics of the Khawarij. Don't be fooled by the person who can get up on the minbar and give a khutbah that can inspire you and make you feel good. Because that is not necessarily his reality. And sometimes because a person speaks well, it's not a proof that the truth is with him. Louis Farrakhan is one of the best speakers that I know in the world today. But whenever he's moving his mouth, he's lying. Especially when he's talking about the deen of Allah. But if an African-American were to sit and listen to him with sincerity, some people think he's talking about Islam, and people come to real Islam as a result of the way he articulates himself. So the Prophet says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, inna min al-bayan la-sihra. Some kalam, some speech is a type of magic, because people can mesmerize you. The Prophet described the Khawarij, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he said, يُحْسِنُونَ الْقِيلَ وَيَسِئُونَ الْفِعْلَ. The Khawarij, they say good words, but their actions are terrible. In Al-Iraq, with this man, Abu Bakr Ibrahim al-Baghdadi, when he became the Khalifa, and he put the black turban on, and he stood on that long high minbar, and started talking to the Ummah about coming, giving him the bay'ah. If you listen to his oration, he's a good orator, a good speaker. But his kalam is kalam farigh. the Khawarij, this is one of their ways. They will come to you and say, Al-Islam, Al-Islam, Al-Jihad, Al-Jihad, Al-Khilafah, Al-Khilafah, and all kind of stuff. They're killing us. What about our Izzah? What about, what about? And that may be true, but that doesn't mean that you should follow that way and abandon the way of the Salaf of this Ummah. Doesn't mean that. He said about them, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, يَقُولُونَ بِخَيْرِ قَوْلِ الْبَرِيَّةِ. The Khawarij, when the Prophet described them, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that they say the best speech of the human beings, like the ayat of the Quran. They made takfir of the companions. They broke away from the Jamaat of the companions. Ali ibn Abi Talib, they tried to fight him and kill him. They broke away from him. They used to say to Ali, إِنَّ الْحُكُمْ إِلَّا لِلَّهِ. Allah said that the rule only belongs to Allah. That's true. Ali, when he heard that, he's not going to reject that ayat. He said to them, كَلِمَةُ الْحَقِّ أُرِيدُ بِهَا بَاطِلٌ. You said the truth. The hukum is for Allah. And it's the truth. But you are using that ayat for falsehood. Be careful. And how can you, how can I be able to weigh the speech of any person if we don't have knowledge? Hey, I think everybody here with a show of hands, no problem. I'm curious. How many of you after African Americans have been getting shot in America by the Popo? You heard the group called Black Lives Matter. Black Lives Matter. How many of you heard of that? How many of you heard of that? All right, if I'm a Muslim, I'm African American, I'm a Muslim. I have no knowledge. How do I know, should I take that slogan or leave that slogan? If I have some knowledge of my religion, I'm going to say, nah, Black Lives Matter, but Muslims' lives matter first and foremost. Ma wala ma bara, Muslim lives. And then all lives matter for that matter. The lives of white people, black people, Arab people, men, women, children, old people. So if I have no knowledge, I'll just get behind those people, Abu Usama, and based upon emotions, I'll carry that flag. Whether it's Black Lives Matter, whether it's the Khawarij, whether it's Sufism, whether it's whatever. You gotta have some basic knowledge. You gotta be a person who tries to push off yourself not knowing. So that was the letter. The man said to Dawood, what do you think I should do? He said, if you're asking me, I prohibit you from connecting with those hururiya. I advise you, leave those people alone. He said to him, how can I take your advice and leave the advice of those who are older than you? I said, would you like me to take you to visit our Sheikh Wahab ibn Munabbih so that you can hear from him yourself and he can tell you about them exactly? The man said, yes. This is a shubha as well that people have. The old man said, how can I take your kalam and your youngster over the kalam of those Khawarij, because with them are older people and you're young? So the man said, I'll take you to my sheikh. The dalil of what's right and wrong is not the commodity and it's not the possession of any particular group. The haqq is not the property of the elders or the youngsters or the Arabs or the rich. The haqq is the property of Allah. And every Muslim, wherever it goes, wherever he finds the haqq, he has to take it. Look what happened to Al-Imam Al-Albani. He went to Al-Kuwait. While he was in Al-Kuwait, one of the students asked Al-Albani, should we read Surah Al-Fatiha behind the Imam when he's reading out loud, Fajr, Maghrib, Isha? Should we read Al-Fatiha? He said, no. That's his opinion, no. Because there's dalil for that. The young man said, but, Al-Imam Al-Bukhari said you should. Who are you? Like to say, who are you, Al-Albani? Al-Imam Al-Bukhari said you should. Al-Imam Al-Bukhari has a book called Juz Al-Qira'a Khalf Al-Imam. A book where he brings all of the dalil to say, you should read behind the Imam. So when the Imam is reading, you should read. So you say no, Al-Albani. Bukhari said yes. Al-Albani said to him, and Al-Imam Ahmed, the Sheikh of Al-Bukhari, said no. And then you can bring another one of Ahmed's Sheikh. And it is not like that. It's with the dalil. Where is the dalil? And in an issue like this particular mas'ala, reading behind the Imam, this mas'ala, it's a mas'ala that You got to just take your position and keep it going. You may take this position this year, the other position next year, because both positions can convince you here and there. Move the finger, don't move the finger. We don't say you're all over the place. You change your position, as Imam Ash-Shafi said. We take a position today, we change it tomorrow. Al-Imam Abu Hanifa said that. Rahmatullahi alayhi. So Ikhwani, the man said, we went to Sana'a, and the man came with me. We left early in the morning so as to bring him to make sure we would catch the Sheikh Wahab ibn Munabbah. When we arrived there, we found in the presence of the majlis of Wahab ibn Munabbah some people. We entered and we discovered that they were already there. Some people were in his company. So these people asked us before we talked to the imam. He asked me, Daul, who is this man with you? Who is he? They said, this is Abu Shamr, Dhu Khawlan. He comes from Hudur. I came with him here to see the imam. He has a special request for Abu Abdullah. Abu Abdullah Wahab ibn Munabbih. They said, why won't he tell us what his issue is? Because they're trying to save the sheikh from having to deal with everybody. Maybe we know the answer. Why don't he tell us and we'll deal with it? Daul said, nah, it is a request that he wants to consult with the imam himself about a personal matter. So the people got up and they left. At that time, he went and Wahab ibn Munabbih said, welcome. What is it that you need, O Dhu Khawlan? How can I help you? So the man was respectful towards Wahab ibn Munabbih. He had haiba, the scholar. Some of the du'at I find are joking too much these days. The dawah has become a joke. The dawah has become Hollywood. So I mean, why don't we come together, guys, and everybody give me 50 pounds, 100 pounds, 20 pounds. I become a director and I make a movie trying to guide the Muslims to Islam. Let this little man, he'll play a role. This one is a criminal, that one's a drug dealer, that one with this one, that one, he's a highway robber. And I write a script where everybody makes toba at the end, and then we all go up to Al-Jannah. And then the people were sitting there who watched the movie, they say, mashallah, mashallah. That was powerful. It's a joke. This is not knowledge. It's not going to help our community. It's entertainment. I come before the community and all I do is joke and we just laugh and we get up and people say, mashallah, that was a wonderful talk. But if you give the people a knowledge-based talk, knowledge-based, real knowledge, we don't want to come, we don't want to listen. Anyway, the man was respectful towards Wahab ibn Munabbih, the scholar in front of him. He was stuttering, couldn't speak, couldn't articulate himself. So as a result of that, Wahab ibn Munabbih said to Daoud, speak on behalf of your friend. What's the situation? I don't have all time to see all day to sit here. What's the situation? So Daoud began to talk. He said, okay, Abu Abdullah, verily Dhu Khawlan is from the people of Quran and goodwill, as far as I know. And Allah knows best about that which is hidden. This is important, Ikhwani. When you praise people, someone you like, say, he's a good brother. Ahsabuhu kadhalik. Wallahu hasibuhu. I think he's like that and Allah knows best. The man came to Umar doing his khilafah. And the man walked by Umar. The man said, ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, you see that man over there walking? He said, yes. He said, you should put him and give him a job in your cabinet somewhere. Because that is a good man right there. Umar said, not Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Umar, did you travel with him? No. Did you do business with him? No. Did you eat with him? No. Did you sleep with him? No. He said, then you don't know that man. Maybe you just saw him in the masjid making rukuh and sajda, so you say he's a good man. You don't really know that guy. You lend him some money, and then you see how he becomes. You sit down and go to Momo's, Bobo's, Bedra's, and you sit down with that food that you, and you see how much he eats. Meaning, he's going to eat more than everybody and not worry about anybody but himself. So, when you praise people, say, Wallahu Alam, and Allah is his Hasib. He says, so I see this man as being from the Quran and goodwill. As far as I know, Allah knows best about his hidden situation. He told me that he has met some people from the Hurura. The Hurura there in Sana'a. And they had written him a letter. And in that letter they said to him, the zakat that you pay to the leader of the Muslims, Dhul Khulan, rich man, with slaves that he sent to go look for the letter. They wrote him and told him, you know that zakat you have to give every year? When you give it to the Muslim leader, you don't get any reward for it. As far as what is between you and Allah is concerned, you will not get any reward. And that's because those leaders, they do not put that money in its proper place. So give you a zakat to us, the Khawarij, and we will see to it that it gets where it should go by distributing it amongst the needy Muslims, and we will establish the truth with it. That's the kalam of the Shabab today and the Khawarij today. That's the kalam of the Shabab today. The Shabab are telling us today, all of the hukam of the Muslims are kuffar. None of them are doing the right thing. Some of these people even saying Mecca and Medina are dar al-kufr. Although the Prophet says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Mecca and Medina, Hijra, there's no more Hijra. That's it. Those two places are the bedrocks of Islam. And they said Mecca and Medina is the place of kufr. And I think any Muslim who's been to Mecca and Medina, they would say, with all the fitna that's going on in KSA, it's a lot of fitna there, from the top of the government to the bottom of the society. They have problems. They have challenges just like us. I saw on Mount Uhud, when I made Hajj or I made Umrah, I saw on Mount Uhud written Tupac. What are you talking about, Tupac in Medina? Someone went up there and put graffiti on Mount Uhud. It's the summertime in Mecca. Summertime, hot. And you see some of the Shabab of Mecca wearing hats that are heavy, with heavy hoodies, listening to music. Is that all of them? No. There are some Shabab of that country who are from the awliya of Allah. Some Shabab from that country who we wish you brothers would be like them. But I'm saying they have issues. Over here in the UK, living in this society, we have some of these brothers and sisters, when you see them on the internet, when you see them talking, they say all of the leaders are no good. They don't do any good. That's the way of the Khawarij. And the reason, Ikhwani, and this is really important, when you read those books like Sharh al-Sunnah by Imam al-Barbahari, Asul al-Sunnah by Imam Ahmed, they write in those books from the Asul of the Sunnah, is for you to know that when you pay your zakat to the leader of the Muslims, you've done your responsibility. And they said that because the Khawarij were of the opinion during that time, you can't give your zakat to the leader. You have to give your zakat to the Khawarij. Why can't you give it to the leader? Because the leaders are bad. They're going to use it. They're going to gamble with it. They're going to steal it. Even if they stole the money, you paid your zakat and it's off of your neck. So this is why Imam Wahab ibn Munabbih is dealing with this issue, because the Khawarij wrote to him, you give us your money. They went on, Ikhwani, and we won't be much long, inshallah. He said that, so I felt, O Abu Abdullah, that your speech would be more healing to this man than mine, because he has informed me of how he gives them fruit for every 100 firaq for his cattle, and how he sends all of his zakat to them with the servants that he has. So the man was giving the Khawarij a lot of money, a lot of help. And now they want him to get this letter to send more money. And Imam Wahab ibn Munabbih said to him, Ya Dhul Khulan, do you want to be from the Harura in your old age, the age you are right now? Declaring that those who are better than you are lost, meaning that the Khawarij, they're going to say that the ulama don't know, but they know. Do you want to be with those people? You're an old man. How can you fall for the okie doke like that? Who from amongst you opens up his computer, and then when he goes to his email, he sees the email, sir, you have just coming to 300 million pounds. All we need from you is to send us some personal information. What is your bank account number? And what is this? And what? Who reads that and says, yes, I'm going to make a lot of money. I got that money. Everybody knows this is a scam. Who would make himself, but some people do that. Even from the Muslims, some people do that. And I just want to say to all of you, especially young people, anything that is easy and free, anything you get it like that, it's a scam. Anytime you hear someone come and tell you you're going to make a whole lot of money and all you have to do is wiggle your finger or something like that, don't believe it. It's too good to be true. Too good. But this is the society that we're living in like that. So he asked the man, the Khawarij are a group of people, the Prophet described them, he said about them, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, hudathal asnam sufahal ahlam. They are young in their age and they are crazy in the way that they understand things. You're not going to find, as I mentioned to you people, you are not going to find 65, 70 year old person. You're not going to find him doing these things that the Khawarij do. Put a bomb on himself and blow people up. They're not going to do that. Because the 60-year-old man, even if he doesn't have a lot of knowledge, he knows that's not right. He doesn't have a lot of knowledge to know that that's not right. 16, 17, 20, 21, 25, he's pumped up. He's pumped up. Haris, he doesn't know. So he asked him, you want to be from the Hururiya, from the Khawarij, in your old age? He went on to mention to him, what will you say tomorrow to Allah when you meet him? And he asks you, why are you from the Khawarij talking about and criticizing those people who are better than you? You know your situation. You don't know anything about their religion. Juz'amma, you don't know it. And you're talking about the scholars of Islam are scholars for dollars and they don't know what they're talking about. But you know what you're talking about. You and your crew. He went on to mention, Ikhwani barakallahu fikum, he who you testified against, Allah has attested to the faith of that individual. And he who you have attested to his disbelief, Allah has established his belief. Allah has witnessed the guidance of these people who you've witnessed their deviance. So where do you fall in your opinion and in your testimonies when they are contrary to Allah's decree and testimony? Meaning again, there are some people who will come and say, this brother is an innovator. And that brother is not an innovator. But he swears what he is saying is true. And he really believes that. He really believes that. And that's how the Khawarij are. You're a kafir. But he's a Muslim. And he may be a Muslim better than you. He is a scholar. But the Khawarij, the youngsters say, he's a kafir. We have to relax, ikhwan. This is the month of Ramadan, inshallah, coming up soon. Prophet Muhammad told the people, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that Jibril came to him and he said, "Ragm anf man adraka Ramadan wa lam yughfar lahu." May his nose be put in the mud. May he be put down. The one who Ramadan comes and it goes, and then he wasn't forgiven. When we hear a hadith like that, we heard it every year. That means that everybody here has to say, those are the words of the Prophet. Who made dua against you? The one who was the Sayyid of Bani Adam. The Khair Abna Adam. He made dua against you. So it's not a small thing. It's a big thing when your mother, your father, grandmother, grandfather, when they make dua against you. It's a big thing when your neighbor make dua against you. Now, if someone you don't know, road rage, they make dua against you. Okay, you don't know them. And it's still dangerous. But that's your mother. That's your father. The Muslim has to be like, man, this ain't no joke. My mother, my father said that. That ain't no joke. How are you going to be, Yawm al-Qiyamah, standing before Allah, and you throwing people outside of the religion? You an innovator. And if the person were to sit with you, you can't articulate why. You're just following your desires. So the man, Wahab ibn Munabbih, tried to bring this to the man's attention. He said, tell me, Dhu Khawlan, what would you say, and what can I say to you? At that moment, he began to talk. He said to Wahab, these people, they order me not to be charitable to anyone who doesn't agree with them, and not to seek the forgiveness of anyone who doesn't agree with them. Now, this is really serious right here. What do you have to say? He said, well, I'm going to tell you, those people wrote me the letter, the Khawarij, these people who I've been dealing with, they command me, I can only give my money to them. And they command me, anyone who doesn't agree with them, don't ask forgiveness for that person. They call that Hizbiya. Hizbiya. If you don't come to our masjid, then you are Hizbi and you're not with us. If you don't take our sheikh, then you are Hizbi and you're not with us. And don't ask for forgiveness for anybody else. When Wahab ibn Munabbih heard that, he found it really strange. He said to the man, you are right. This is how they are. And this is the phony love that they have and that they show people. He said, as for their statement about your zakat, it has reached me that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam once mentioned the story of the lady who came from Yemen, where we're at. And that lady, she had a kitten, and the kitten died because the lady didn't give the kitten any food, nor did she leave the kitten to go out to eat from the dirt of the earth, or from the insects of the earth. So I want to ask you this question about this thing about your zakat that they said. Here is a lady, went to the hellfire because of a kitten. Now I want to ask you, isn't it a man from these people who you don't give zakat to from the community? Isn't the man from our community, he worships Allah alone, he doesn't make any partners with Allah, don't you think that that person is more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than just feeding a kitten? Now, a kitten has life, so you should take care of the life. That's important. Don't harm the kitten. Don't kill a kitten. But what about the man who stands up and he is a muwahid, makes dua, makes salah? You're telling us we can't give zakat to anybody except us. And there are people from our community who are doing all kind of good things more than you. So don't you think that this is better that there are people worshiping? And then he read to him the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِنَّمَا نُطْعِمُكُمْ لِوَجْهِ اللَّهِ لَا نُرِدُ مِنْكُمْ جَزَاءً وَلَا شَكُورًا إِنَّا نَخَافُ مِنْ رَبِّنَا يَوْمٍ عَبُوسًا قَمْطَرِيرًا. There are those people from the community who give zakat, they give sadaqah, they feed people food, and they tell the people they give the food to, we don't want any reward from you. And the people they feed from the food, sometimes they're kuffar, they're not even Muslims. So the point here is, how can this ayah talk about the people who feed non-Muslims as sadaqah, and these people are telling them, you cannot do this with the regular Muslims. So he gave him that particular ayah. In the actual book, Ikhwani, went through a lot of ayahs. I'm not going to go through that ayah because the point is already made with the ayah that he mentioned. He went on to mention, nor would Allah cease to distribute and disperse these attributes which he prepared for these people in the bounty in paradise. Because the ayah mentions many things that they get. He went to say, as for the saying of the Khawarij, don't seek refuge for those who disagree with us. Don't ask Allah for istighfar. He said, I want to ask you, are these Khawarij better than the Malaika? He said, don't you know that the Malaika, Allah will say about the Malaika, وَالْمَلَائِكَةُ يُسَبِّحُونَ بِحَمْدِهِ وَيَسْتَغْفِرُونَ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَيَسْتَغْفِرُونَ لِمَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ. The Malaika, they worship Allah and they praise Allah, and they ask Allah to forgive those who are in the earth. So the Malaika are making dua for everybody. And these people are thinking and telling you, you can't make dua for anybody but the people from your group. Are they better than Malaika? He brought a lot of ayat that also show that. وَالَّذِينَ, as Allah said, وَالَّذِينَ يَحْمِلُونَ الْعَرُشِ وَمَنْ حَوْلَهُ يُسَبِّحُونَ بِحَمْدِهِ وَيَسْتَغْفِرُونَ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Another ayah. There are many ayahs. Those malaika that carry Allah's throne, the hamilat al-arsh, and those other malaika who are around the throne, the ones who carry the arsh are tremendous. Allah said that they glorify Allah and they praise Allah and they ask Allah to forgive those people who believe. So how is it that these people can tell you, only ask Allah to forgive the ones who are with us, but don't ask Allah to forgive the other people. I saw a text message I want to bring to your attention, especially that Ramadan is coming, inshallah. Someone brought the population of the Muslims. I don't know how many Muslims there are, but let's say there are 2.3 billion Muslims in the earth. I don't know what the number is. Whatever the census say, this is how many Muslims. This person said, this is how many Muslims are on the face of the earth. And then they brought an authentic hadith. Prophet Muhammad, he says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, anyone who makes istighfar and he asks Allah to forgive the Muslims, he will get a sadaqah and a reward for every single Muslim that exists. So when you make dua in Ramadan or other than Ramadan and you say, oh Allah, forgive me, forgive my mother, forgive my family, forgive this, forgive all of the Muslims. That's 3.2 billion hasana. That's an intelligent text message. That's encouraging you to do right. Don't be fooled by this kalam of the Khawarij or any group. Only have love for our group and no love for other Muslims. And we have quite a few people who are on that stuff. We're jumping from here, Ikhwani, because we're almost done. He said, by Allah, the Khawarij, they were never a Jama'at. They were never united. Like all of them were never united. They were always split up. He said, they were never united except that Allah split them into their worst condition. Nor has any of them opened his mouth except that Allah put him down and smote his neck. Never has this ummah united under a man from the Khawarij. And this is important. Never in the history of al-Islam was a person who was the Khawarij from the Khawarij the leader of the whole Muslims. Never did that happen. And that's because those things like that, they don't happen because they lead to the destruction of al-Islam. Yes, sometimes the Khawarij get power over there, they get power over here, but they never become responsible for all of the Muslims. Listen to this. Al-Imam Wahab ibn Munabbih, he said, if Allah had given the Khawarij authority in the world, then the world would certainly become corrupted. The roads would become closed. The pilgrimage to Hajj would stop. What was once Islam, it will end, and Jahiliyyah and ignorance will begin. Until the people wind up beseeching the mountaintops. If the Khawarij were in charge, the people going to go to live up in the mountains. And at that time, there will arise 10 or 20 men from amongst them. Each one of those 10 or 20 men will claim that he's the Khalifa. And each one of them will possess a number of other men who fight with them. And they will begin to fight each other. Because they don't accept the Khilafa call of anyone except themselves. So they wind up fighting each other while they're fighting the other Muslims. He went on to mention, a believing man from our community will become fearful for himself. He'll become fearful for his religion, fearful for his blood, fearful for his family, fearful for his money, not knowing where he will be or with whom he will be with. And that's the reality. What time is the adhan for Salat al-Isha? Huh? 10 o'clock. Is that not, Ikhwani, what we see from the people who call to this dawah of removing the leaders of the Muslims, those people who wage war against the leaders of the Muslims? And we're not saying that the leaders of the Muslims are from those who are the best that this ummah has to offer. We say that they are there and there's a way to deal with them. And the way of the Khawarij is not the way to deal with them, because the way of the Khawarij, when they start doing things, roads close down, safety stops existing, Hajj is coming in a few months, you're not going to Hajj if you're from Iraq, if you're from Libya. You're not going to Hajj. In Somalia with the Shabab, people get blown up, security starts to get compromised. It affects the quality of the life of the people. It becomes drama. If they ever became in control of the situation, we'll just have these examples. You take your finger, as I said a number of times, put it on the Arab map and the Arab world. Put it on the Muslim world and look at all of that blood that's being shed. The blood that they shed is far worse than the blood of the leaders that they're trying to get rid of. And then when the leaders go after them, the door is open for the non-Muslims now to come and get involved and to put our countries and our communities overseas, especially back 20,000 years. Islam in Europe was spreading like wildfire. Now, because of this scourge of takfir and the Khawarij mentality, Islam is going back. They want to ban the niqab. They want to ban the niqab, the prevent, the Trojan horse. In the Muslim school, we're going to put the girls on this side, the boys on this side. They come in, they find out that this is discrimination. Close the school down. We have all kind of issues. The imam can't get on the minbar right now and say what is the truth, because if he says what the truth is, it's not PC. The masjid can get closed down because the masjid is from the charity commission. Charity commission. You don't pay taxes, but there's rules and regulations that you have to follow. But if the imam says something that's really from Islam, he doesn't want to kill anybody. He doesn't want to hurt anybody. Doesn't want to take the law into his own hands. He just wants to educate the community and say homosexuality is not permissible. Lesbianism is not permissible. And the person comes and says, oh, that's racism. And you know, that's, you cannot curse the companions. Can't curse the companions. So the people of Tashayyu come and say, that's discrimination. Close the masjid down. So we've given those people, due to the efforts of those people of this Khariji, and they're not the only problems. We got a lot of people creating problems, from the liberal people, from the Aqlaniyin, a lot of people, but we're talking about the Khawarij today. Just 5 more minutes in that city. Inshallah, Ikhwani, I'm going to finish this right here. He went on to say, Ikhwani, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from his wisdom and his knowledge and his mercy, he looked at this ummah and he made his consideration of it good. So he gathered this ummah together under the hearts of one man who was not from the Khawarij. So Allah injected into that man the blood of the community, and he covered the community with children. He covered the community with that man and their children with that man. Meaning the leader of the Muslims, when he's in charge of the land, when he's in charge of the country, there are going to be hospitals that work. People are going to get, they're going to be able to go to school and learn. I don't know if you people saw in Yemen where the people from the Qaeda went inside of the hospital and they started shooting the doctors and the nurses, shooting their heads off, throwing bombs in the room where the people were gathered together, throwing bombs, killing the people. Yeah, that leader of the Muslims may not be the best guy. He may not be the best practicing Muslim. But in Pakistan, and you're in Lahore, wherever you are, you can go to the hospital and get some treatment. Africa, you're in Kano, Kaduna, you're in Maiduguri, Sokoto. You can go and get your tooth pulled. But when these people come and they start blowing people up and compromising safety and security and doing what they do, compromising the stability and the safety of the land, the people start living in hell, hell on earth, hell on earth. And we don't really appreciate it because we're not in the middle of it. So in concluding, there was a little bit more. In concluding, I want to say to you, go back and read this thing. You can find it on the internet. His name is Wahab, W-A-H-B. Wahib ibn Munabbih. You just put his name out, this is going to come up. Second thing that I want to mention is he started to talk in this thing about what I didn't read, how if the way of the Khawarij was the right way, then for sure Allah would have given them superiority in the earth. He would have given some, at some point in time, they would have been superior, because Allah has promised the Muslims in the Quran, if you do righteous deeds and you do right, you believe in the correct way, Allah will establish you in the earth. Many ayat like that. Allah sent his religion, the guidance of truth, to proclaim it over every other religion. But everybody is messing up in our community. The Khawarij are not from the awliya of Allah. If they were from the awliya of Allah, Allah would give them a nasr, because he swore he's going to help his prophets, his messengers, and those who believe with them. But our whole ummah, we are falling short of our responsibilities. And as a result of that, We lost that place of supremacy that we used to have that Allah gave to the people before us because they did the right thing. We got away from that. Now we're suffering. We're suffering. Now if the Khawarij were really these religious people who want to establish Islam, Allah doesn't want to help them to establish their religion. Allah wants Islam to be established with conditions. Certain people, time and place. It's not for every group of people, every time and place. If they were really Sufi, whatever your group, really on Islam, you would see this from the Khawarij. Especially in light of the fact that they carry the weapons against people. Jihad, they're the Mujahideen. Well, Allah has promised the Mujahideen. Many of the people from our community, Salafi, Ikhwani, Sufi, this, he ain't trying to make no jihad, real jihad. We are scared. Prophet Muhammad told us about the time in which people are going to love the dunya and so forth and so on. And we love the dunya. We don't want to fight for our religion. We don't want to do that because of the way our life is. When we conform here in the UK, welfare, this, that. When you come and you tell the Muslims, for an example, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ana bari'u min kulli Muslim yuja'imul mushrikeen." I'm free from every Muslim that lives with the mushrikeen. That hadith has a meaning. Before you tell the person the meaning, when he hears that hadith, he gets upset. Why are you saying that? You didn't even explain to him that hadith is talking about the one who can't practice his religion. He thinks it's a blanket statement that you're saying he can't live here. And he's disturbed by that. Why? What are you talking about? I can't get my welfare. I can't get the dole. What are you talking about? Life here in Europe, we are like on a pacifier, a dummy that you give the baby. And that's how it is. And then I'm going to get up here on the minbar, me, and I'm going to say, "Hey, Ikhwani, jihad, jihad, the hukam, this, that. And in my house, I got every kind of haram thing going on in my house with the TV and everything that is diametrically opposed to Islam. And I'm receiving, the lower hand is taken from non-Muslims, and I'm talking about khilafah, jihad. And those are the worst types of the Khawarij. Those people who sit down and they're theoretic and they don't do anything. Al-Imam ibn Hajar, he said, the Qa'idi are the worst ones. The ones who sit down and they just have kalam. So for you youngsters, in concluding, we implore you to slow down. Don't throw your lives away. Get educated. Do what you can to help your families, to help yourself, inshallah, moving towards the future. And avoid the kalam, physical speech that you hear with your ears. Avoid the kalam that you see with your eyes. And stick with the scholars of al-Islam. And don't stick with the people who, way back then, Wahb ibn Munabbih gave them the example. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm not saying the hukam or the awliya. We're not talking about that. What we're talking about is there's a way to deal with this situation, and it is with knowledge and with the way the Prophet showed us. هذا وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا وعلى آله وصحابه أجمعين. What time is the thing? 10 o'clock? 10.